welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Can we give Abby a hand just for the authentic nature that she engaged with us? For us introverts, your sharing with people, it's easy to do it on Instagram and Facebook. TikTok, not so easy because you have to jump up and down and you only have like 10 seconds. So I don't even try. But to share our lives authentically and in a real way, what a blessing. What a blessing to be part of family, right? So my name is Bosov Grobler. I am a partner here at Doxodeo Hatfield. I am a person that just loves God. I love his church. I love my family. I love business. And I love doing all of those things together. And if it can be in the same time, then I'd love to do that as well. So I don't know many of you, but good to meet you. Good to meet you. We are in the middle of our series, very short series. It's like a Plattelandse Dorpie. You have to focus because you drive and then it's gone. So there's only three parts to the series. And it's within the broader context of the year theme, as Joe said, His Glory, My Story. Now, it might seem like quite vague, His Glory, My Story, but it is, for me, it is just absolutely amazing to think that I have the privilege of serving a God that is glorious. Glorious, not a meanie, you know, a difficult person. He is glorious. And then it's not as if I have to pick up, the crumbs or pittance. I share in his glory. I come behind him in his wake. I come behind him in his glory. He's a God, an amazing sovereign Lord that shares his glory, that invites us into us. And it might seem, you know, easy to understand for some of us, but for example, for people that live in this concept of a secular type of thinking where I am glorious. And then I go, not so much. I don't know. Not you. I'm looking straight at you. Let me look at somebody else. You think that you are all that until you are confronted with all that, with God. And sometimes when I do work in the developed world where that is quite rife, you know, the secular type of mindset, I try to explain to them what his glory means and how my story fits into it. And the metaphor that I sometimes use is I refer them to this experience where my family and I had an opportunity to go and ride elephants, African elephants, not those tiny Indian elephant thingies. They're like the big brother elephant. And it was safe, don't worry. You know, it was, we got onto the elephant. Now the thing is broad, like, so you have to sort of side saddle, otherwise you're going to scare something. So you sit on the elephant and then the elephant starts moving. And then this elephant starts making a sound, this guttural-like sound that reverberates into the ground, and they can hear and speak to each other in that way. And I remember sitting atop this elephant, and I realized this is like a physical metaphor for there is something bigger than I am, a.k.a. elephant, and a.k.a., you know, many other things. And then I realized, but I am part of it. There is something bigger than I am, and I am part of it. His glory, my story. And we're taking a very intentional step as a family across the globe in these 3 weeks where we doubling down on this concept of unbroken fellowship. This notion that we have an invitation to go beyond just being invited into a life where we have been saved from sin, but a life where we are invited into an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Crazy, crazy type thought. That we are invited into intimacy with God. And then many, many people would say, okay, but that's not possible, right? So how can you fear God and have an intimate relation? How can you be in awe of God and have an intimate relationship with Him? And there's a very interesting pastor that made this statement. So if you believe, this is him saying it, not me, so this is the caveat. If you do not understand that you can be in awe of somebody or something, and, in other words, be in fear of, but also in intimacy with. You are not male, and you are not married. That's a goeie grapje daai. You've now totally missed it. Or you are worrying about what Blade is going to do with me after. So it is possible. It is possible. To be in fear and reverence of, in awe of, and to walk in intimacy. And that's what we're going to unpack today. So Taiki was very brave in the previous session. And he was brave. Why? Because he took Maya's, his wife's, Tupperware out of the house. Now, I'm not that stupid, hey? I've tried that before. I lose the Tupperware, and then there is problems in the Grobler house. Okay, so I don't take Tupperware out of the house without consent. But he took it out of the house. And what he did further was he took a Cokie, and he wrote on it, like schoolboy era, hey? You are going to, it's like problems. But why he used that metaphor was he had the job of explaining to us from Scripture, from the Gospel of John, what this relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit looks like, and then how we fit into all of that. So he used Tupperware and a Cokie to help us. Very simple but powerful metaphor. As I said, I was not as brave, so I'm not going to show the metaphor. I'm going to explain it, okay? So what he did was he took the container, a beer container, transparent container, and he wrote on it, God. And he placed it down on the table. And then he shared scripture from John where Jesus says, I am in the Father. I only do what the Father does. You will only ever see me mimic my Father. And he took another container, wrote on it Jesus, and with that scripture in mind, he placed Jesus into the container of God. And then he referred to scripture that talks about that we are, you and I, we are in Christ. And he had this little transparent Tupperware, and he had a little smiley on it, and he placed the smiley into Jesus. And then he spoke about how not only are we in Christ, Christ is in us. Christ's Holy Spirit is operating in us. And the last little cup was that of the Holy Spirit that was placed in us. And that unit was a metaphor to explain how is it possible that the intimacy of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how is it possible that we are invited into it? You know, are we sitting on the side? Are we like in the thick of things? Do they discuss things and then bring us in after? Or are we part of this intimate relationship? Loved it. Loved the metaphor. I did speak with him last week. He's still alive. Okay, so that's, he's in a good space. Now, I want to take another step today. So if that is the relationship and what it looks like, and we are invited into it, I have the privilege through walking through John 17 today, speaking about what a life of intimacy looks like in 2025. In this world, in this crazy world, in the third term of South Africa, in many different terms, the first term in other parts of the world, what does it look like to live a life of intimacy with God, real life, not mystical mountain stuff, real life? And we're going to do that through John 17. So if you wouldn't mind just opening up your Bible or your app or something to John 17, please don't do nothing. So If you don't have a phone or a Bible, just scoot closer to the person sitting next to you. Okay, so we're going to walk through that. I do want to start by asking you this question. So I've got it up on the screen here. The first question is, what is the most significant event you experienced this year? So we're halfway through the year. What is the most significant event that you experienced this year? Now, before you grab something or think about it, I want to just put a definitional twist on this. I'm using the word significant with very clear intent. I'm not talking about the most successful event. So success, as we know, is when we set goals and then we come up with strategies and then we implement those strategies faithfully and then hopefully we get at the end of a time period. And then we have the opportunity to reach those goals and we turn that success. I'm rather talking about significance. And significance is that event where you and I have the opportunity to set goals with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's a different twist, right? So not just, this is the mark that I want at university, or this is the income line that I want for this year, or this is what I hope my relationship would look like. I have a wife or a girlfriend in my future, and I'm going to work towards it. Not our own goals, but goals set with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then, coming up with strategies of fulfilling or getting to those goals with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then, because usually the goals that he said is bigger than an elephant. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than any of us. These are like big, hairy, audacious goals that he sets. And that's maybe the reason why we step away from setting goals with him. Because this is safe. That's not safe. Riding an elephant, not safe. But riding my motorcycle, or riding my car, or riding a taxi, that's safe. But setting goals with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, strategizing with them, and then walking out obediently this difficult role of reaching the goals that he sets with us in absolute surrender and co-labor with him. And then reaching goals that actually changes the world for the better and forever. Significant. What has been the most significant event that you have experienced this year? Where a significant event, if you'll take me to the next slide, please, is this an event that changed the direction of your circumstances, your health, your business, your finances, your relationships, your world, and or your life forever and for the better. Why? Because it was drenched. It was imbued. It was just so drenched with intimacy with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What was that event in your life? And again, I'm not talking mystical mountain stuff. I'm talking real life. I'm talking about that thing that you are, as you walked in here, you had to actually just move it to the back of your mind, because if you have to step into this space with that struggle that you are with that uncertainty that you are with that question that you have, you would not even be able to raise your hands in a hallelujah. Because it's just too difficult to bear. That thing, I'm wondering what that thing is, that if it is mixed, if it is drenched, if it is like poured over in the association and in the intimacy with God, that circumstance will change for the better and will change forever. I wonder what that is for you. And I want to share with you one of those events that that Blade and I experienced very, very recently. And I want to share this again. It's just like real life, right? Blade and I had an opportunity to have 2 nights and 3 days away from like everything and everybody else. And we had the opportunity to go into a place called Welgevonden, beautiful, beautiful place in the African bush. The biodiversity there next to none. You drive through a small little town called Valwater. You have to, luckily they've got roadworks there now, so you have to drive very slow so you can see what Valwater looks like. So we had this opportunity to go away. And for me in my life, that moment with my wife and my God in the bush was a significant event. And I want to share with you why I say that. And I want to share that with you because I believe that today God has an appointment with you into a relationship of intimacy in real life. So we went to the bush, saved a bit of money. We prepared the kids. You're going to be on your own. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be away. And I want to take you through that's Blade and I right in the middle. So this is what's right about the picture. It's just Blade and I, right? So Blade took this selfie and she sent it on our little family group. And she said, Papa and I are safe. Now the kids are always kids and they're very smart. The older one, 27, he came back and he said, you've only been away for a few hours and Papa's already going gray. Oh, I'm like, okay. I think it was just the lights. I don't think it was anything else. The other thing that's nice about that picture on the left-hand side is there's, in the bush, there ain't no connection. So it's only in the place where you sleep where there's connection. So you can decide not to be interrupted by your children because it happens. So it happens when your parents, for the young ones here, your parents, they really need time away alone and you think, but that cannot be as important as what I need to tell them. So we've had that so many times. So Blade and I were in a different hemisphere. We had a blessing of being together in a place and the kids were younger. And we were sitting having like this amazing meal, this beautiful place. I was staring into my wife's eyes and then I heard... Papa, come in. Papa, come in. Dad, come in. Dad, come in. And I'm like, what on earth? And it was my backpack speaking to me. And it was our youngest son, Miku, on an app called Zello, where he had this frivolous nonsense question and he was interrupting. Okay, so this place, none of that. The next thing was, luckily for us, all our kids are now close to over the age of 18. So the likelihood that they're going to do something idiotic that we would have to rush back for, that has happened before. We got this phone call. We're in like a different place. There's a plane ride that we have to get here. And Andreas phones us and he says, I've got problems. I said, what's the problem? I said, I borrowed mommy's car. I'm like, big problem. I said, what's the problem? I said, no, I put Nina and Miku in the car as well. I said, okay. And then what? No, I hit somebody on a bicycle. I'm like, my boy, you're dead. Okay. So none of that. This was great. So the scene is being set. So then Blader says to me the evening, can we go on the morning game drive? And I'm like, it is so early. It's like 5:30 and it's on a game view. It's outside. It's cold. It's very, very, very cold. Now I am on, but I said, my wife, for you, anything. Okay, so I get out to this game driving vehicle in the morning. I drain like a half a cup of coffee, not that great, so I'm not awake yet. I'm sitting on the game driving vehicle. Sorry, that was loud. I was sitting on the game driving vehicle, and so now I'm starting to pray. I mean, this is this beautiful place. The sun is just about to set. We are going to crest this little hill, and I just remember in my heart, I was just so thankful for this opportunity, and I said, good morning, Lord, in my heart. Good morning, Lord. And as I said it, we turned the corner and we crested this hill, and this is what we saw on the other side. This beautiful, beautiful, this was taken with a very good phone, but still, it does not reflect what I saw. Beautiful, like this whole horizon lit up by the glory of God. And I just felt the Lord whisper into my heart. He said, morning, my boy. And I'm like, yes, this is, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. It was just so beautiful. Now, usually when we go to these places, I have an agenda. Lord, can I please see this? I haven't seen this before. Blader hasn't seen that. The kids haven't seen that. And always on the top of the list is to see a leopard, because we don't see leopards often. And you see pictures of it, but I usually have a list. This time around, I just said, Lord, whatever you want to show us, I'll take. I'm just so thankful for being here. And I heard the Lord whisper into my heart. He said, I'm going to show you the entirety of my splendor. And I'm like, I'm going to see the big five. It's like, wow, this must be true. The Lord is going to show us like this. I'm going to see a leopard. This is like my heart was pounding fast. And this is what we saw. So we on a game driving vehicle. There's a couple with us. They're from Australia. They're about, 70 probably. They're supposed to be calm because they are yoga instructors. So they're supposed to be quite calm. So they're sitting in the bus with us. So we happen upon, for example, this bromance between these two buffalo bulls. Beautiful, beautiful. And they're loving on each other. And it's just amazing to see this in nature. Then the next picture, please. We saw a lot of rhino. Now, this poor Australian lady, at some point, because you're driving very, very far, she had to go to the bush toilet. Okay, so she had to find a spot. So we stopped, and what the guy does, he walks in and he growls like, no, it's safe, okay? And then you can go. So the lady went, and her husband went with her. So she's behind the corner, and she tells the story that she was behind the corner and then walked up to her two massive rhinos peering into her eyes while she is in the bus toilet. But that wasn't the worst. What apparently then happened was there were two game driving vehicles that wanted to take pictures of these very same rhinos. Driving up to her, click, 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 until they saw what was in the background. And then they stopped because it was personal, right? So that was our sighting of the rhino. And then this big boy, sure, we're driving on this little road and this elephant, Moses up to us, very slow and so on, doesn't flap his ears, doesn't make a sound, doesn't trumpet, but all of a sudden, he shifts a gear and he starts like storming at us. I got to like a falsetto pitch of, but the guide, he put it in the first gear and he drove and he got to the other side. And then this lady from Australia, this is not intimacy with God. She was like using God's name in vain and then with expletives with it. And she was like shaking. So we survived this animal charge. Next picture, please. And then we saw these lions and then the most beautiful leopard that you would have ever seen in your life. The next morning, yes, we went on a game drive again, 5:30 in the morning. The next morning, I'm driving around, and I'm just saying, Lord, thank you so much for what you shared with us. Beautiful. You didn't have to. Thank you so much for sharing this. And I felt the Lord whisper, and he just said, I wanted to bless you. And now that I have your attention, I want to chat with you about the next season of your life. Because I want you to be co-laboring with me in stewarding my abundant resources in a new way to change your world for the better and forever. And from that moment on, my quiet time, my thinking time, my strategy time, the strategy sessions that we had just changed. Because there was a significant event in my life. Now, you might be sitting here and you say, okay, but I don't go to the bush. I don't ride elephants. That's not my thing. And I wanted to also just share this one moment in Tiger Wheel and Tyre, of all places, where the Lord met me in just such an intimate moment. Because I don't know who likes Pietermaritzburg. Who's from Pietermaritzburg? Sorry, sissy. Yo, Pietermaritzburg must have been a nice place when you were there. I think maybe so. Now, hey, man, there's potholes, like big, big potholes. There's a place they say is very nice. They call it the Midlands Meander. Now, the reason why they call it the meander is you ask for a cappuccino, then they meander away for 2 hours and come back with a cold cappuccino. So I don't know. So I don't. We were there watching hockey and hit a pothole. I go to Tiger Wheel and Tire to ask them to do the wheel alignment. Now, something, one of the things that I'm struggling with, that Blade and I are struggling with in my life, is what is the role that God would have us play in the lives of our adult kids? Because sometimes it feels to me that like God is busy with something and I'm in the way, you know? I'm just trying to help you, and you know, and the kids say, okay, I've got this, you know, get out of the way. But I got this very distinct sense that the Lord is busy with Andreas and Nina and Miku and my wife and myself, but I get in the way. So I was waiting for 2 hours and sitting in this place in Sleepy Hollow and just leaning back, and I started praying. And I said, Lord, I want to pray a spirit-filled prayer. Help me with the right question to ask. This is what's on my heart, but I don't know how to frame the question. And the Lord helped me through His Spirit, and this is the question I asked. And I said, Lord, what are you busy with our kids? Because if I can see what you're busy with, then I would better understand my second question. What is the role that you would have us play in what you're busy with? Yes, and the Lord came in those 2 hours in Tiger Wheel and Tire in Pietermaritzburg. And He just shares like pieces. And when Blade and I now talk about the kids and what we should be doing and what we should be worried about and should we do this and should we help or should we not help, that is now part of the mix of real life intimacy and things that where we don't have the answers. And I believe that God has that for you today, where you might be saying, look, this is the thing that I'm struggling with. I don't know how to do this. And God wants to turn that into a significant event in your life as He just imbues that and just drenches that in His intimacy with his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit heart. Goodness, I want that for you. I want that for you. So that when you walk in here, you walk in here with the thing that you're troubled with right in the front of your mind, because you know that you serve a glorious God that is telling His story through your life. You're not on your own. You're part of an intimate relationship with the glory of heaven and earth. And it's got real life implications for you in your studies, in your work, in your business, in your relationship with your parents, in your relationship with your kids, in the way that you think about having kids. It is all about the God of heaven and earth caring so deeply about you. And this morning, as you woke up, as you step into intimacy with Him, He wants to say, good morning, my girl. Good morning, my boy. I want to co-labor with you in this life. I want to help you. I want to work with you. And together we are going to change the world for the better and forever. Doesn't look like you believe me. Okay, so maybe we should go John 17, right? Scripture. So you're going to believe Scripture. John 17. The way that we're going to go through John 17 is asking a second question. Second question that I want to ask is, what is the most significant event in the world ever? Remember our definition. Drenched in intimacy and changes the world for the better and forever. What is the most significant event in the world ever? Who's at university at the moment? Okay, so I need a student to answer me. Hand up in the air. I know. Or my friend knows. You can set up a friend for failure. Okay? Anybody? In the first sermon, there was a guy with his hand in the air. He's an engineer. You have to be an engineer to have this answer. Okay, he's asking his friend, what do you say? The most significant event in the world ever. Your friend gave you the answer, so it's her fault if it's wrong. And resurrection. Okay, your friend is very smart. Say thank you. Give her a high five. Thank you. No high fives. Okay. So, in my opinion, the most significant event, per our definition, in the history of the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because any reason that you might have of thinking that you are not allowed into an intimate relationship with God, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection canceled. You might be sitting here and you say, okay, but Boshoff, you don't understand what I have done in my life. You don't understand when I leave here or where am I alone in my room, in my dorm room or wherever I am. You don't understand what my life is all about. So you don't know that I am actually disqualified from a life of intimacy with God. And I want to say to you, Jesus' resurrection has taken away any conceivable reason why you might think that you cannot have a life of intimacy with God. No reason. And I want to share with you, and I want to show you that in the context of John 17. I'm going to go to John 17, verse 1 to 2, and I read from the Passion Translation. Father, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his Father. John is eavesdropping. He's allowing us to listen to this intimate moment where Jesus, the most difficult thing that he has to deal with in his life, he's called to live on earth as a man, to die on a cross, and then to be resurrected. This is just before Jesus is going to die the most gruesome death, a death that falls squarely within the purpose of why he was sent to earth. So this is relevant text for you and I that are sitting here and saying, this is the thing that I'm struggling with. This is the thing that is keeping me awake at night. This is the thing that I'm worrying so desperately about. This is the time where we now happen into Scripture. Father, the time has come. Jesus knows that the time has come for this difficult thing that he is facing to happen in his life. And then he says, unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. He says, I'm about to die. And people looking at this would say, how can a king die? How can that be successful? It's not successful. It is significant. Why? Because whatever the situation of the world was and the sin that was in the world would be changed for the good and would be changed forever. Maybe a reason why we don't take our difficult things to the Lord is because we don't want difficult answers. But I can promise you, this is an example where, yes, it was horribly, horribly different. It took his life, but it changed the world forever, his resurrection. Why did it change the world forever? Because in that act, Jesus conquered sin. He conquered death. He reconciled you with the Father. There's nothing that you have done. There's nothing that your parents have done. There's nothing in this world that can happen to you that can tear you away from a reconciled life of intimacy with the Father. Why? Because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. He paid the price for you to live in a glorious life of intimacy with him. Done. Dusted. God's glory was revealed. Secondly, not only was his glory revealed through Jesus' resurrection, we were invited, you and I, in our brokenness, in our pain, in our uncertainty, we have been invited into this glory. John 17, verse 3. Eternal life is what we got as absolute grace. And Jesus defines eternal life in this way. He says, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom you have sent. Jesus died. Jesus was resurrected so that you can live lives of significance. That is what is available to each and every one of us. And then John 17, 22, glory is not a destination. Glory is intimacy with God, where Jesus says, I have given them, you and I, past tense, past perfect tense, I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. God wants to be one with you. One. And I'm wondering what that situation is that you have in the back of your mind that the Lord wants to come and speak into today. We're going to create an opportunity now where you have an opportunity to close your eyes, to focus on this intimate relationship that's open to you, and to ask God from the bottom of your heart to invite him into that situation. To understand it. Lord, I don't understand this. Maybe that's how you start. Lord, this is my thing. I don't get it. I dream great dreams, Lord, for this child, for this marriage, for this business. Great dreams. And these dreams are shattered. When we pray, I want to invite you to name the thing that you're struggling with at the moment. And then to say to the Lord, I don't know why, I don't know how you do. And then what we do in soul care as part of Doxadeo so many times, then to ask Father God, give me creativity to understand this and to strategize around this. Jesus, convince me that I'm not alone, that I've got you as a companion around me. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to even dream and see things that I would never think possible. In other words, when we get quiet now, putting reality, real life in front of God, admitting that I don't have the answers. I've tried, can't sort this out. And then inviting the creativity of the Father, the companionship with the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit into that. And my prayer is that today will be a start of a journey where God will turn that circumstance into a significant event in your life. One has changed for the better and changed forever. Amen.